Hey, everybody, good evening, and welcome to another episode of Citizen Kane. It is the 5th of March, 2017, and as always, we are streaming live on Facebook right now. We do stream live every Sunday night between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find that link to that live stream edition on our Facebook page, citizenkane.org. That's also our webpage, where you can find all previous videos, all 27 of them, as well as the show notes and all of the articles that we discuss during the program. If you are watching the live stream event and you would like to join us, add to the conversation, add to this good old round table here, the number to call is 267-521-2771, or you can Skype us. Citizen Kane is the handle. Also, you can get a hold of me anytime during the week via email. That address is show@citizenkane.org. My name is Conan Soliday, and I am joined by the very, very cold, lovely Shauna Nash. She can be reached via email at cherish@citizenkane.org, and she is much, much better at getting back to you guys than I am. I do apologize if there are sometimes days in between my responses. I'm just procrastinate like that. And I don't type very fast. And I don't...
You don't type fast at all. It's painful watching you type.
I don't...
And I can type... Compared to you, oh man, I'm flying through
But it's not just typing, but actually coming up with topics, generating a conversation via... You know, it's just... I just fall off when it comes to getting my thoughts and my brain out there via text. It just doesn't work very well.
I think it just comes down to you're more, I'm just more ready to bitch and complain to people.
Yeah, math was never my strong suit.
But I'm all right at math.
You know, I'm all ready to go and be like, stop watching the show, it's terrible.
So yeah, last week I was almost prepared to do the show in my t-shirt. And then there's this weekend. Good God, man. I mean, make up your mind. It is cold out there. And saying that, I'm actually kind of warming up a little bit. But, I mean, it was 1 to 0 degrees out there. And, you know, I had just taken down, I put protective plastic around my rabbit coop, rabbit hutch, slash chicken coop. And I had decided with all that wind that was going on
last week
and a half ago, I was like, well, I need to take this silly thing down before it, you know, disintegrates. So I did. And yeah, I was really worried last night that someone was going to freeze. There are babies out there and the chickens are, you know, on one side of the hutch.
Are they alive still?
Oh yeah, they're doing good. They do well.
Chicken rabbits.
Yeah. No need to put heaters in your coop, like one individual did earlier this year and ended up burning down their barn. Not needed. Just keep them out of the wind. That's the real big one. The wind chill gets them. So, Shauna, how are you this evening? Besides being a little cold.
That's all there is. Just cold. Cold and dark.
In this first week of March.
And pretty judgmental.
When is spring come?
I'm in a judging mood right now. Spring is in 2 weeks from... 2 weeks before spring.
I'm almost kind of worried that people were talking about shoots coming up. Necessarily tulips, but some other kind of flower. And I'm, you know, I haven't seen any buds on my apple tree. But, I mean, this is the kind of upset that would really kill a season of apples where the buds will come out. And you'll get some crazy weekend like this where they everything freezes and it kills all the buds, and bam, no apples.
Well, there weren't any apples last year.
Well, and it's year on year off, it seems like. I don't know why that works either. So anyways, what happened this week? I went to a thing.
This week in Keene.
That's what it was. It was a damn circus. So
it's a Thursday night.
Last week, Keene had its annual 6-year capital improvements program, our capital improvements plan meeting, public hearing meeting. And I have never been. I have been to public hearings for the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of felt, yeah, this is kind of going to be the same. It's going to be a circus where you can go and ask questions, but nothing's going to get done. So they printed up this 120-something page Bible of all of the requests. All the departments have requested projects, infrastructure, equipment for the next 6 years. A lot of it, you know, is going to take place in the next 1, 2, and 3 years. Some of it is paid through federal grants, state grants. Some of it is paid through property tax. And, I mean, what do you think? How much do you think that book cost?
I think they're freaking delusional by just the picture on the front. It's got, I'm pretty sure that's the addition to the library that they're dreaming up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got this nice little atrium.
Is there an airplane on it?
No. But
why isn't there an airplane on it? That's part of the future of Keene.
You mean airplanes crashing into buildings? Or no, what are you talking about?
Building up the airport, because that's how we're going to save Keene.
Okay, well, this is the library annex that they're adding on. And it's got, it's obviously artist rendering computer images. It's got this little group in the foreground of, you know, a little symphony playing.
Hold on, why are we talking about this?
Right in front of the library. When really what happens in front of the library is kids who should be in school and kids who should have been in school just hang out and smoke cigarettes and cuss each other out.
Is that the library or is that Keene State somewhere?
No, that's the library. That's supposed to be the library addition. See, that's the parking lot between the Heberton Hall and the library.
And I see, and this is the old, not rec center, but the YMCA that got tore down.
Yes.
So yeah, and the only people I ever see sitting out in front of the library are the homeless, and of course people waiting for the bus to come pick them up. Very interesting. So anyways, I went to this meeting pretty much expecting what we got. The booklet is typed out, it's printed out. The booklet is complete. There is no changing this. You can go and you can talk and ask all the questions you want. This isn't getting changed.
And that's what you expected when you walked in.
Yeah, just
and
like,
that was my justification for not going.
Just like the budget,
among other
the budget
things.
Meeting. And I did. I asked a lot of questions, and I was, you know, why, you know, asking about the $1 million ladder truck that gets, you know, that's replaced every 20 years. I was curious as whether it was the last one that got replaced, the one they allowed to be rusted out.
What do you mean they allowed
here,
to be
here
rusted
we,
out?
Here we are oil coating the bottom of our vehicles.
Oh yeah,
are
totally.
Spraying them down at least, and for some reason their fire truck got gigged during inspection because the bottom was rusted out, the frame. I don't know how you let that happen. But anyways, the one they're replacing in a year is not the same one. It's in a totally different $1 million truck. Think about that. Hold on. Those listening, wrap your mind around that. What kind of a vehicle, what kind of technology are we talking about that cost $1 million? Think about the price of your vehicle. And now wrap your mind around a $1 million vehehicle. This isn't a space rocket.
Maybe it is.
It's a truck. It's a truck with a ladder on it, and it goes places.
It has a lot of equipment. It's got a lot of computers in there.
I don't know
but
why.
But is it more than what they already have?
I don't know why you would need all that equipment. You've got your radio. You've got an address to go to, and you've got a ladder that will extend out so you can get places. Is it even necessary? We don't live in a here they won't allow a certain height to building. I think 3 stories is the limit.
Mm-hmm.
Do they even need a ladder truck? 99% of the buildings in Keene are 1 story.
You got to get up in a big old tree, maybe?
I don't know. They were to rescue them kitties?
Well, there's something going on somewhere.
Well, I asked
Or if you want a truck with all this equipment and fancy bling on it, you get the one with the super high, you know, ladder. I mean, they also go, I mean, every time I read of any fire anywhere in Winchester and Stoddard and Brattleboro.
It's a barn.
Everybody, well, no, it's not always a barn, but everybody from all over what feels like the tri-state area from how they describe it, everybody's coming to help. You know, there was a fire in Brattleboro a couple weeks ago, and it, in the Sentinel at least, they were saying, oh yeah, you know, fire help came from Keene and as far as like Stoddard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that,
so, and you know, it could be because this is such a big metropolis, Keene, they are slated to get this fancy bling super truck because they're the biggest industry in town.
Well, the way I see it is it could be a good or a bad thing. It could be because we're overinsured. There is,
yay!
We are spending too much money on this protection.
Yep.
And of course, you can be like, well,
you don't want to be underinsured.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you?
Do you want to gamble like that, Mr. Soliday? And I'm like, oh God, you can't argue with that.
Well,
that just makes
not
too
yet.
Much. That can't makes too much sense. The police
not
force.
Public access.
I'll tell you what, the police force can be lessened. You can cut down that a little bit. All you got to do is end the drug war. So I went to this thing. All right, asked a lot of questions. And it was becoming clearer and clearer, and I think it was
Did
one
they
other
have a
I think it was one other person who spoke, and they asked questions. It's like, all right, we don't have that information. We'll get back to you. Go ahead and email me that question, and I'll get back to you. And it's like, well, no, this is when the decision making is happening right now.
No.
No, no, we had the counselors. All right, so now here's where it goes.
So
I mean,
how did it start though? Because I didn't go for several reasons, but. Did they start off by talking about it? Did somebody give a presentation and be like, we're so great, we got a printer to work?
You mean like all of the bar graphs, all the charts, and this is how much is of
yeah, was
the
there
spending
any,
is taking place? No, not really.
It just was like, hello,
it's
attendees.
It's broken up into these, those tabs are each part of the city.
Yep. That. It already looks like the way the table of contents are set up.
So finance, oh no, not finance. All right, so capital reserve detail, public health and safety, transportation.
What I want to know is how was it conducted? Did
the same way the budget was.
I wasn't there for that either. Did somebody start off by saying, you know, introducing to
the mayor?
Okay, and then the mayor just say, okay, first item is this tab about fire trucks. Does anybody have anything to speak on it?
Correct.
Or people just got in line to just say. Hi, I'm attending. I'm not, you know, part of the in-group, in-crowd, and I want to ask this question.
No, people... most of the people were there for one reason, and we'll get to that after this after this fiasco. No, it was just like the budget. It was like, this is this department. Does anyone have questions about this department? All right, no one has any questions. Let's move on to the next one.
Okay.
Does anyone have any questions about this department? No one has any questions. All right, let's move on to the next one. It was bat, 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 bat. And the only one asking any questions was me. And it was like, and why? Because this next in line, this goes to the FOP committee next week,
right?
For five individuals who will vote, and they're going to vote in the affirmative, and no department heads are going to be there. If they have any questions, no department heads are going to be there to answer the questions.
None of the people in line to receive money, because this isn't the budget. This is what they want to spend money on for the next 6 years.
This will affect this year's budget.
Oh yeah, yeah.
If this is passed, everything will go into effect. Oh, by the way, I didn't even mention how much it was. $86 million over the next 6 years. So this is no game. This is real. This is reality. This is the truth.
They got the color printer out. I mean.
Now, I did cut some clips. I did cut one clip from this that should be mentioned. If you, all right, so there is a way, if you feel that this is too much, just ask for it.
I can't just reach for it.
Just say, give me the stupid book.
Give me stupid book.
If you do have issue, if you have this CIP plan is on the website. It's on the city's website. I'm going to put a link on citizenkane.org as well as the Facebook page. If you see something, you're like, why are they spending $1 million on this or $300,000 on this? Or they're spending a lot of money on the airport. A lot of it's coming from federal aid. But the city is going to be spending $200,000 on you know, renovating the bathrooms and the walkways and whatnot. If you have problems with that, you can call or email the city or your counselor, because as it turns out, it seems like there is a way at the FOP meeting where counselors can actually address and make amendments to this. And then, of course, it's up to the FOP committee to actually accept those amendments, and then they'll get the vote on it. So, I mean, it's really a circus, but let me go ahead and play this. Let me find my, what am I looking for? CIP amendments?
The first dude. If
member- okay, sorry, guys. I got carried away.
If members of the council wish to have amendments to this document, that they can submit them in writing to the FOP committee. They have until next Tuesday at 1 p.m. to submit any written comments or written communications. Members of the public will have until next Tuesday to submit written comments relating to the CIP. The Finance Committee will consider any amendments that are given to them for consideration.
Okay, so
that means I could suggest an amendment.
Well, no.
Be like, no, you should amend this to go home and stay away.
No, you can't. You can make a comment. You can write comments that will be presented at this meeting, and they'll read them.
Now,
any of the, probably, yes. Most likely, yes, unless it's just dumb. Now, if you're a city councilor, you can actually go to this meeting and speak on them and make amendments. And there was a question as to whether this was actually a thing. This was in itself an amendment, I believe, to the process that will allow city councilors to speak on this. Hopefully, I am hoping, fingers crossed, that at least one of the councilors will show up at this meeting and try to make some changes. Here's what the lawyer has to say on that process.
The general practice of the council has been, you know, keep in mind they're going to consider it at the FOP meeting prior to a motion on the vote. The general practice has been to allow councilors to speak at that during that process. But after a motion is made with respect to a recommendation, then that discussion ceases.
So there you go. There you have it.
So they can't?
Can.
They can,
but I don't know if it's legal. They've just been doing it. And I think that's. So is it in the city charter that this is part of the process? I think not. I think they never got around to amending it, but they do it anyways.
Isn't their city charter the original founding document of this as a city? From like
it can get
1740
changed. They can change it.
All right.
But yeah, it
their living constitution.
I don't know when it was first introduced.
All right, so.
So I'm not impressed. I think this is part of the problem. I think that, and when I went, I commented on the fact that this is 200 plus pages of requests that you're going to just pass in one fell swoop. I mean, think about that. I mean, if you can come, if every time you needed a truck,
mm-hmm.
you came to city council and say, oh, by the way, we need a truck, or you know, the truck's dead. It's like, all right, we'll make it happen. Or why did you allow it to rust out? Or does the truck still run?
Can it
how many
be
more
repaired?
How many more years is it? Why are you replacing your truck every 20 years? Is it still good? Is it still run? Well, run it for another 5 years. Let's actually wait till it's actually, you know, on its last legs. I wanted to ask where they actually go afterwards. We're probably selling them to shipping them over to the Middle East and letting them use them. Who knows what's going on with the trucks? Or maybe they're getting sunk out in the ocean for fish reefs.
They're stripped for parts.
But where was I going with that?
This is unsustainable. This is $86 million.
Over
6 years.
No, it's too much all in one go. Break it up into pieces.
Well,
but just everyone. I mean, because there might be something that a counselor really, really, really wants. And something they really, really don't want, but if they vote against it, they won't get that one thing they really, really want. This is the Klingon bills. What are they called? Writer bills, where you stack on a bunch of crap all into one bill. You want one thing, and you have to vote on it all to get that one thing you want, even though there might be a couple of issues that you don't want.
I think it's a little more insidious than that, actually.
I think they don't want to, I think they don't want to deal with this throughout the year. They just want to get it over with. They want to get it out of the way, just like
the
budget.
Well, that's not a good excuse either, because they're always dealing with stuff that involves them spending our money. So, honestly, to me, how is this any different from whatever they were doing 5 months ago that involved some project years in the making?
I mean, like this...
That they totally don't know what they're doing, or they shouldn't be doing. It's all the same to me. They're spending too much money. They're taking on too much debt. They're raising our taxes way too much so that it discourages family formation and people actually owning a stake in living out here.
And businesses coming here.
And the weather is not reeling people in, I'll tell you that. But what I think is so destructive about this that anybody can see from a mile away is that they have stuff that they need done that they say they're going to do this year. Right? They're going to get that fire truck this year. And of all the things, fire truck, it's really hard to argue against replacing it, because you kind of don't, you might want to get that repaired or fixed or upgraded before it's on its last legs. It may be on its last two legs, but I'm not saying that's what they're doing. They're, you know, probably just whoring it out to a brand new bling, and that's disgusting. But say that's what they want done in 2017, 2018. There's stuff in here that they're addressing that is supposed to be coming around in 2021. Well, they pass this, which they will. And
keep in mind, this comes up every year. This gets reviewed every year, so there'll be things.
Okay, but in 2020 then, when the item that they want done in 2021 comes up again,
mm-hmm.
they're going to say, we've had this plan 5 years now. You're not getting rid of it. And something in 2020 that they want to spend money on in 2027,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be saying, that's 6 years from now. Don't worry about it. We'll have the money by then. We'll have all our debts paid off. Somehow, magically, we'll have like 40 Home Depots in Keene to be able to afford all this. And, you know, a lot of millionaire young people will show up and just, you know, buy everything downtown and own slaves. I don't know.
Well, so we're the slaves.
It kind of ends up being what they always do.
Yeah, you know, and they've gotten used to it.
The Keene master plan has sidewalks everywhere where they don't really need to be. And for years now, they can say, oh, no, we've had this in the works for years. We've had downtown being annexed to a historic district for years. Where were you 6 years ago when we were first eliciting public comment?
Right.
Or, you know, Marlboro Street being revitalized.
Well, and the school does the exact same thing. They go through their budget process yep. the exact same way the department heads.
The closing of Jonathan Daniels.
And then they say, well, where were you?
No,
where were you when we were passing this thing? I'm like, I was there.
But closing Jonathan Daniels, that was planned years before they even had the vote.
Which was
that first
was,
said
and was
no.
voted against and yeah. was voted against.
And that was addressed as, you know, well, this is a snag in our plan, but we're going to do it anyways. Which kind of not all that angry at. Because you can't afford it, except now they're turning it into a little baby slave station, so whatever.
Well, this is definitely, we can't afford this, and all I'm saying is, you know, do what I do.
Complain.
No, you drive that truck until it breaks. Oh, and by the way, you upkeep it. By the way, my truck is near in 20 years. Do you think there's anything wrong with my truck driving around with it?
Yeah.
It drives.
I'm terrified of driving it.
Because it's big.
No, I.
No, but it's nearing 20 years, and when something breaks, I fix it.
But
now, when it gets to the point,
municipalities around you don't rely on your truck working. I mean, neighbors do, other people do, to the effect of like, well, I don't want his car blowing up in front of me at the stoplight.
My truck isn't going to blow up anytime soon.
I'm saying that there's more. It makes more sense for them to be, you know, uppity about fire trucks. But again, that's how they get you, because we don't know the maintenance schedule. We don't know why that ladder was rusted out. It could have been
not the ladder, the frame, the bottom of the truck. They were driving on salt, and they weren't cleaning the truck.
Oh,
that's how it happened.
Well, again, I'm saying.
Well, and
not
then,
for
and,
a third
and,
time.
And then, like I and then, like I mentioned, is the damn truck even worth $1 million? Is anything worth in Keene worth $1 million? Like the silly bridge. I mean, just think about all. Think about that money. Think about how much we're talking about. But no, they don't. They don't, because it's not their money. They don't care.
They think it is. They think they're part of the municipal industrial complex that this business is booming.
Yeah. Well, the majority of the room, and by the way, there was when I got there, there was one seat left. It was a full house. No one spoke on anything because they were there for one reason, and that was a request. There we go. Parks and Recreation was a community center feasibility study amounting to a total of $35,890. Now think about that money, by the way. What do you need? What is actually going to be done with that much money?
What are they going to do with it?
I mean, they know what they want. They want to move the senior center to the Parks and Rec building. And then, of course, what does that entail? Does that entail them building a new wing onto the building, or moving some stuff around, or building some cubbies to house some old folks? That's a lot of money right there, all off the bat. But the request is for $25,890 to perform this feasibility study. We don't know yet. This is step one. Step two will come after the study has been completed.
Well, the study isn't listed as a study in the financial plan and project schedule. The $36,000 is listed under expenditure as design. So it doesn't sound like they're at the point where they're, would this be a good idea? They're going to draw up the numbers of, you would need to add a wing. Oh, you would need to add more crosswalks all around the senior center.
This is just
the Parks and Recreation Department.
This is just prep work. There's nothing actually being done except decision making.
It's not going to be focus groups of people in Keene of like, should we do this?
Actually, some of the senior staff over at the senior center might actually be a part of it.
Oh, I wonder what they'll say.
So I did cut a lot of back and forth from this particular event, because this is why people actually showed up. I thought it was very sad. We're talking about an $86 million budget, and yet people showed up for this. And keep in mind, Senior Center is a nonprofit. And what are they doing? They're asking for money from the city. This is step one. And step two, it's coming down the pike. City's going to be spending a buttload of money revamping the recreation center to actually house this class of voters.
So you're looking at it as the study isn't just a study. It's to get this done, to get this achieved, to have the Parks and Recreation Department.
Well, they don't know. All right. Well, let's let the right from the horse's mouth explain why this study is necessary. This is Peg Bonham over at the Senior Center. I think she's the head honcho over there.
I'm Peg Monahan, and I also don't live in Keene anymore. I used to. I want to.
By the way, I totally forgot to mention that there were five speakers who spoke in favor of this study and the spending of city money. There were four against. Now, two of the five who spoke in favor of it actually lived in Keene. The other three didn't live in Keene.
So when
all four of the individuals who spoke against this were all residents, and it's our money on the line. If probably more people had known this was actually taking place, probably more people would have shown up.
Well, to frame it differently, a lot of the people who were in favor of spending this money on this study to get this done, it's not their tax money that's going to be affected. It's not their rent that's going to be affected. It's not their city, really. Mm-hmm. Unless they just go to the senior center as a customer. I don't know. I'm trying to look at, like, how to shame people about this.
And I also wanted to point out on Friday after this meeting, the morning after this meeting, I was listening to the radio, and Carol Jeffries, who reports on all of these meetings for WKBK, if you, listening to her, you would have never known there was any opposition. You would have never known from her report that there was issue taking place. She said there was most of the people attended this meeting, and this is what they said, they were in favor of it. Never a hint that there was anyone who was speaking against it. I'm very miffed at that. And by the way, guess what? He's a senior.
Hey, this is going to be on Cheshire TV.
Everyone's like, there's no such thing as fake news. Yeah, but you know what? There's very, very, very biased news. And that leaving that little bit out, leaving the fact that there was equal opposition of and more voters, more taxpayers against it, leaving that out was dangerously close to being fake. Yeah, sure, I know you were there, and I know some of your facts were right, but leaving that out in my book is a violation of a good news report. I'm miffed.
You should be. I heard that report, that, you know, blurb or whatever, I was driving home on Friday, and it really did just give the impression that it didn't present it the way the Sentinel did, the way you have told me about it, as people were for it, people were against it. It sounded like, hey, this neato thing was brought up,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. Almost as if, like, nobody knew about it. There was, you know, $86 million in here, and the only thing that anybody can wrap their heads around to create controversy or to be upset about, and I'm not hating on this as something to get worked up over, is just this one thing. And that is all that she had in her report. Didn't have anything about the idea that anybody was actually against it. I'm really against the idea of trying to make fake news as a term, your term, or me trying to make it my term.
I don't fall. I think that's the first thing I've ever said fake news out loud.
Well, it's the only time that you get.
Okay, so don't say it again.
No, because it's giving in to that upper layer of false narrative that the media, which is fake and lying and all that, is selling you. As now, all of a sudden, since November, there's a scary thing that they need to blame their lying on. They always lie, they always project, and they always double down. Creating the term fake news as they did, as a product to force into everybody's brains, is their problem.
Okay, well, this is a line of business where you're supposed to be unbiased and you're supposed to report the facts. Nope. And as soon as you don't, then you're suspect. Then I can't trust you.
I never really bothered to trust her in the first place.
Well, I've heard her for years. I never thought twice about it. But now that I've heard that, now I'm like, now I can't trust anything the woman says because you were biased. You left a very important fact out. You want to play?
Yeah, what was she actually trying to say? Whoever that woman was. I forgot her.
Peg Bonahan. She is the...
Who doesn't live in Keene.
She is the main honchette over at the senior center.
But she I'm Peg to. Monahan, and I also don't live in Keene anymore. I used to. I want to... I'm speaking as the executive director for the senior center. And I think I want to make some things very clear. On the page in your budget book, it lists the amount of money that is going to take to do this feasibility study. And then at the bottom of the page, it says other sources. Well, the other sources is the Keene Senior Center. We don't have a lot of money. Our annual budget is about $150,000 a year. That includes maintaining the building and salaries.
More than my budget.
And it's pretty obvious that we're not a rich building, a rich organization. But to be able to take $10,000 out of our savings to do this project, you can see that it's very important for us to have this feasibility study. Without the feasibility study, there is no way that we're going to ever find out how much this project is going to cost, whether it be our money, whether it be federal money, whether it be private donations.
Or city taxpayer money.
So the feasibility study itself is critically important. And the longer we wait, the older people are going to get.
Well,
right now in Keene, 17% of the population is over.
You want to go back to that? I did cut it in half. Because you just changed it up a little bit.
Let's just keep going. I'm just going to complain about the fact that if you're not, you can't make a living in Keene if you're not super old. If you're not in the protected class of senior citizen, you can't make a living. And you need to wait until you are old enough.
Every one of the oldsters who spoke in favor of this, it's like they don't get that. And she's about to talk about who is actually paying taxes in the city.
And I'm totally ageist.
But she's like, hey, we've already footed $10,000 of this money. And by the way, this is just step one. We've already, we don't have the money, and yet we were able to come up with $10,000. Why can't you guys come up with the other $25,000 of step one? Because it's going to turn into something else. And she's talking about federal money. We all know where federal money comes from. At least I do. It's not free. It comes from us. She did not, and she didn't mention city taxpayer funded monies in the form of bonds to build a new damn wing on the rec center.
Well, you're getting ahead of her. But I don't know if it's specious, but the argument that she gave basically, well, the longer we wait, the older everyone's going to get. Or is a graying population. She's not going to run out of, people using the senior center. Mm-hmm. She's actually going to increase. There's going to be more people. Add 10 years and the proportion of old people to young people to working adults, to adults trying to find work, to families, is going to be massive. There's going to be massively more older people. So
she's going to talk about the numbers in a second.
I would want to hear the numbers that she gives, because I'm very curious as to why they need this study, what they're lacking. They only have this budget of $150,000 a year. What do they need? What are they missing?
And by the way, $15,000 of that comes from the city.
Okay, then $135,000 of straight up money. What do they need?
Well, that's
what are they missing?
It's a big building.
Okay, so the seniors at the senior center need heat. That makes sense. It's freaking cold out. But I want to know
what the building isn't that big. Yeah, exactly. I don't have their budget. The city of Keene budget just includes how much money they're getting. It doesn't actually say what they're doing with it.
Plan on.
And the longer we wait, the older people are going to get. Keene, 17% of the population is over 65. And in 2030, 30% of the population is going to be over 65. Now, think about that. Every third person that you run into in the grocery store is going to be over 65.
In 2030.
Have you ever been to Market Basket on Sunday morning?
They're already there.
Yeah.
Right now,
which is when I choose
25%
to go,
so of the taxpayers are over 65.
All right, that I can't verify this. I don't know, but she says 25% of taxpayers are over 65.
That makes sense.
You think?
Yeah, because they've had enough time to actually get a job.
25%
to file taxes. To own a home, yeah.
And how many of those are collecting Social Security and that's all they're living off of?
Well, then that's not really income, so you don't pay taxes on it. Hmm. So it depends on how you define even what taxpayer is.
Those are the people that are writing the check every single year. These are the people that are supporting the city.
There you go. Now she's playing the old taxpayer person card. So look how much of us are actually investing into the city. We deserve this handout. We deserve this new entitlement. And by the way, this is where this is going.
So it's basically their city, and it's their tax money. That's what she's presenting. She's not presenting we deserve this entitlement. She's saying this is actually our tax money and this is what we want.
Well, actually not yet. It's not an entitlement yet, but that's where it's going.
Okay, then what I said doesn't, what you said about entitlement is even less relevant. It's not an entitlement she's presenting it as. She's presenting it as this is our tax money and this is what we want to do with it, because most of us are the ones paying taxes.
Right, and because they are moving into the majority, mob rule. That's how it works. You allow people to vote on things that they want as soon as they figure it out that they can vote on things that they want.
Well,
that's where it goes. They want this senior center. It's going to happen.
They're also assuming that people aren't going to just move out, and this isn't going to become a ghost town because we don't have 40 Home Depots to fulfill everybody's needs.
And that's the worst thing about it. It's like no one realizes what's actually going to happen if you keep spinning like this. So, yeah, you get your fancy schmancy old person home so that you, because they talk about depression, and yeah, it's a real thing. I understand. But who's going to pay for it?
So, one out of four people, four taxpayers now, are over 65.
Okay. So, I guess that was it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's like, you are getting way ahead of what everybody's saying here.
Okay, well,
and it sucks because I've heard you go on for days and days, and I'm just as furious. But
okay, so we need a little common sense here. Someone who's going to speak against the entitlements, against the handouts, against spending more and more and more money on things that really don't matter. Because if you think about it, this is recreation. They're asking for future recreation. They're not actually being sensible about it. They're not actually being logical and reasonable about it. And wait, how are you going to pay for this recreation in the next 20 years? Who's going to be paying for this in the next 20 years? Because you keep raising the tax rate on your recreation, and you're actually forcing people out, and they, like you, Peg, who actually chose to move out of Keene. Why did you choose to move out of Keene? Is it because you didn't like the tax rate and you wanted to move in a nice, schmancy, fancy house out by the lake where the tax rate is half of what it is in Keene? And yet you want me to pay for your damn recreation? No, I'm serious. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. It's sickening.
It's something that needs to be asked.
Well, funny enough, everyone who spoke against this, there was four of us,
mm-hmm.
all young guys. Because guess what? It's our neck that's on the line. It's we're going to be footing the bill. It's going to be our responsibility. Here's Giacomo. He ran for, he's got a lot of good things to say. I disagree with one of the things he says, but he sounds like a good guy.
I'm the generation who's going to be paying for the next step of this project, if there is a next step.
If.
I have absolutely nothing against seniors. I have nothing against a senior center, and I certainly have nothing against nonprofits, being on boards of several myself. What I do have a concern about, though, is converting what is, it says right here, is a separate nonprofit organization serving the community. That's what most nonprofit organizations do. That's a good thing. And that's absolutely something that is good to have, is nonprofits doing that. Where my concern comes in now, though, why is the city proposing $25,890 for a nonprofit? You know how many nonprofits in town would just love to have $25,890. And again, as the people before me have mentioned, this is just the first step. This is the potentially just the very tip of the spending iceberg on this project if we do decide to go forward with this. We've now committed money to this project, and means the city is now potentially on the hook for continuing with this. Obviously, it's going to be funding sources from elsewhere. Again, there is mention of state grants, potentially federal grants. There could be money coming in from elsewhere. But even just looking at this number, which, again, is small compared to a lot of the items on this budget. But we have a commitment to this community. I served on the Economic Development Committee with Councillors Greenwald and Hansel. If we want to increase the economic vitality, we want to make this community, give this community more life, make sure it's sustainable going forward, we need to be spending money, $25,890 maybe, on projects that actually encourage this state to get younger, encourage Keene to get younger. Building senior centers, I don't feel, is going to accomplish that goal.
Give it a few years. You'll get there.
I recognize the demographics in front of me.
I wanted to include that off-the-cuff remark because I thought it was very telling. We, Shauna, you and I, Giacomo, we're just peons, money-making, revenue-generating peons for this city on the side of the mountain, this shining city, this dream, this legacy of the folks who are actually running the show. We are nothing but revenue. And one day, it's good. But good news, Shauna, one day we'll get there. One day we'll understand what it's all about.
Yeah,
you know what?
I'm
you know what? You know what? At this rate, bull. I'm calling bull. At this rate, we're not going to get there.
There isn't going to be a there. Giacomo's response was very well done. There's no way I would have been able to respond as well and maturely and as cleanly languaged as he did.
Yeah, he held it together. I applaud you. I don't agree with his premise that instead of spending this on a study, that we should spend it on downtown to actually don't spend it.
Yeah,
just don't spend it.
That's
stop taxing the businesses, stop taxing the people, and we will decide. We
right.
will make the right decisions.
I know. I really don't want to go into this, but in the realm of bad ideas, okay, to the goal of this city actually existing by 2031, okay, there's the really bad idea and foolish and just other people's money of spending this $26,000 on the senior center, which is going to be a lot more by 2030 because they're going to pass the study. It's not a study, it's a design. That's what it says in here in the printed book. It's a design. It's not a study. It's not a feasibility study. They're coming up with the numbers to do it, and they're going to do it.
Yeah, they should have called it step one.
The second bad, okay, the worst is, you know, spending it on the senior center. Second, the best would be, you know, spending it on reeling in younger people to move here or stay here. Third, the nerd would be, okay, yeah, don't spend it at all and leave it for us because, you know, it's none of your business.
You mean like the $500,000 skate park that's in the CIP?
No. Well, he sounds kind of slightly intelligent and able to keep his cool, unlike me. So probably he may have a better idea.
No, I'm talking about the city decisions. I know he probably wouldn't have made that decision, a skate park. And I don't know. And by the way, I don't know where the $500,000 is coming from.
It's kind of insulting. I mean, like, we're going to have a skate park. That'll reel in the big spenders.
So they can have some place to shoot their heroin
after
school. Okay, so we all got up. We talked about it. I actually was talking about, I was asking, I was like, is this, what does this really mean? Is the city of Keene going to slowly over time absorb the senior center into the recreational center? And Peg didn't like that. She got up and corrected me, put me in my place.
I just want to clarify, the Keene Senior Center Board has voted to maintain itself as an independent 501c3. We're not looking for the city to absorb the senior center. We're looking to rent space in the new community center. So I think people need to understand there's a very distinct difference. But because we're citizens of the city.
No, Peg. I'm a citizen of the city. You don't live in the Keene.
We think that it's important that we also contribute financially to the new community center, and we're prepared to do that.
Which is how it should be. And by
the
way, I told you,
community center. It's already decided.
Yeah, I know. It's been decided behind closed doors without our approval, and this is just making it legal.
Why isn't she on this dang board? She knows all about what's printed.
Because she's not a resident. But anyways, and I totally forgot to mention about nonprofit.
Costing us so much damn money. Maybe she should have to move into Keene.
Let us not forget what a nonprofit is. They are not paying taxes. That is already, they already have the incentive to not need any help. They're already getting help. and the fact that they don't have to pay taxes like the rest of us slaves. Thankfully, and I was about to go up, but I didn't have to because, once again, Giacomo stepped up and clarified what a nonprofit really is.
Based on that, the second to last sentence in the statement here says the feasibility study will provide a direction of program opportunities. If that doesn't say the city is helping operate the organization, I don't know what that is stating then. The space utilization renovation, that sounds like renting a space. Providing direction of program opportunities.
He's clever.
It sounds like there's going to be a little tighter relationship between the two than simply a space rental. That's all.
Well, that's why we want to do the feasibility study to find out.
I don't feel like spending $26,000 to answer that question.
Now, he was going to sit down, and here you are, Shauna, talking about not flipping tables over. This is what someone in the audience, you can barely pick it up, said this. I do. I don't think we should spend this money. I don't think it's a good idea, but someone in the crowd thinks it's a great idea, and because they outnumbered us, and because, of course, everyone on that board up there outnumber us.
Is that city council? That's not a specific board.
This is what you call mob rule, and this is going to go through because they outnumber us, and we're just revenue makers. We're just milk cows to them for their projects.
Right, does anyone else wish to be heard?
That's so funny.
It's called mob rule, people.
Well, it sounds like they're just at the layer above mob rule. Because
yeah, it's civilized mob rule.
But if I didn't want to pay it, and I didn't send that. Yes,
much.
You'll go to jail and they'll shoot you. Okay, but my point is, it sounds like they are dangerously close to devolving into mob rule, because they're at the point where the mayor obviously is a condescending a-hole about it. Because some guy says, hey, maybe you shouldn't do this. Yeah, shut up, stupid kid. You'll get there someday.
That's why we're doing
this.
You don't even understand why we're doing the study. Because we can't make the decision until we do it.
So it's infuriating, okay? I'm not one to, you know, I really kind of just complain. That's all I do with my anger. And I take it out on my own self-esteem and all that. But there are people who are not as inward self-loathing as I am, who will take it out on other people. And it just is, it seems like there's a lack of decorum even in discussing it, because Giacomo, he was very respectful. Mm-hmm. To me, I think he was way more respectful than they deserved based on my own understanding of economics and what a city should and shouldn't do, and just the attitudes within the other people who were speaking. And just that other example of some dude, you know, jeering from the peanut gallery who didn't get up to speak. I mean, that guy who shouted out, I do, did he get up to speak?
Negative.
Okay, so he is in the peanut gallery. He was protected by the peanut gallery. He was the peanut gallery. He's not just some other attendant who just, you know, wanted to say something or anything like that. It's not really much of a whole step above mob rule. I mean, you have the ideation of mob rule as, you know, you're putting it in as there's mob rule that's dressed up as, you know, what we see with decorum, and, you know, you do have to take your hat off. You shouldn't, you know, pretend to have some stupid ass drinking game right now. Get out. We will remove you with force, so to speak. But this just doesn't bode well for society itself. There's not going to be seniors to shake us down for money for a senior center. And there's going to be a lot less of us if that small interaction continues the downward trend of, you know, people really getting their point across. That's all I got.
That's all you got?
Yeah.
You ready to wrap it up?
Yes, please.
Guys, thank you so much for watching. Go visit our website, citizenkane.org. You can find all of the previous videos there, all 28 of them this evening, and any articles. And the only one I really talked about tonight was the CIP. I'll link that to the video, and you can watch that. Watch that. You can look through it if you really, 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 really can stomach it. I'm having a hard time looking at these numbers. They're so
big. You got to open it up in two windows so you can follow along to the... No, I'm serious. This is what I had to do on my lunch break. You got to open up in two windows so you can see the table of contents. You're like, oh, I should look at that. Oh, I should look at that. And then the other window, mm-hmm. you're scrolling through to find it and read it. And then you're like, oh, man, I'm depressed. What's the next one? Don't read it. You're just going to get mad and defeat us and, you know, look at other places to move instead of Keene or, you know.
Hope. There's hope. We just got to put our foot down. We just got to get four Home Depots a year and we can catch up. But anyways, hey, call that number anytime, 267-521-2771. You can leave a message. I'll not pick it up, but you can leave a message. If you would like to get a hold of me directly, the email is show@citizenkane.org. Shauna's email address is cherish@citizenkane.org. Go visit that Facebook as well and give us a like, if you will, because I do put the articles that we discuss, a lot of them, I put them up on the Facebook page and people comment on them and kind of gives me an idea where you guys want to go and what you guys want to listen to on the show Sunday night. Every Sunday night between 7 and 8 p.m. Until then... Guys, thank you so much for watching. We will see you next week. Good night. Well, I wasn't expecting to
get so mad like you did.
I wasn't mad.
All right.
I'm being reasonable. This is my reasonable face.
This is the part after the show that's not going to be on Josh TV, right?
Nope.
Okay, good.
You can swear. You can talk about people. You can name drop. You can play some drops.
Well, you have to drop a bomb on someone.
Drop some drops. I don't even know. I mean, I'm going to tell you, sometime last week, I was just, whatever it was, I don't remember what I was looking at, but I just got so depressed. I was looking at the future, and not just of Keene, but of this country, Uh-oh. This country in general. And here I am doing this show because I want to know that the numbers are important to me, because this is how I run my own affairs. This is how I run my business. This is how I run my budget. This is how I run
affairs.
It's important to know these things because the future.
Yeah.
Because if I run out of money next week,
you better know.
Because I was buying a bunch of crap on Amazon. You know, it's not good for us. Then who? How am I going to pay the rent? And that's all I'm really looking at when it comes to the city affairs. There's that word again.
Yeah, it's not that difficult to figure out.
And so, I remember what
Even
it was. I remember
city.
What it was. It was the four Home Depots. So I do the math, and I created a spreadsheet, and I'm looking at all of the increases every single year. It's like it's averaging. Keene is averaging $1.6 million of increased money every year.
That they say we are the city to function. We need this much more money.
All the state.
Than what we already.
The state isn't participating. The state isn't giving us back our money. Da-da-da-da-da, pensions, healthcare, da-da-da-da-da-da, 1.6 million extra every year.
You need to scale your stuff back, man.
That involves 4.5 Home Depots to suck up of economic development, which is what the city really, really, really wants to do. 4 to 5 Home Depots a year to balance out that increase. Otherwise, the taxpayers... You and I, and the people out there listening, we pick up that extra. And what are we
honestly,
and what are we really getting for that? We're getting $1 million ladder trucks.
Yeah, but honestly, they're not interested in offsetting the increase. because I bet their reasoning is also, well, if we economically develop Keene so that it's making him more money, that's going to attract more people. And those people are going to have money, so they're going to be able to afford an increase.
And guess what you're going to need? And guess what you're going to need if you bring more development? You're going to need people to run those companies. And then the services are also going to have to increase. You're going to need more fire. You're going to need more police. You're going to need more welfare. The soup kitchen is going to need more money. 100 Nights is going to need more money. Everyone is going to need more money because guess what? The population went up. It's an endless cycle. How many people work at Home Depot? A little less than 100? Where are they going to live? Who's going to take care of them? And it's not just one. We're talking about four of them every single year. But yeah, when you've got people making over $100,000 a year.
Yeah, they aren't the people who are going to work at Home Depot.
Another $200, $300 a year increase on their tax bill, it's a drop in the bucket.
You know,
But the people who are pouring their coffee and who are running their gas stations and are working at the stores, their cashiers, can they afford another $200, $300 a year? I'm going to say no.
Can they afford the rent?
They're going to move out.
They're not going to be able to afford the rent.
No, and then you have the whole housing issue where, but don't worry, we're building all these new apartments. High-end, expensive apartments. Who's going to live in these silly things?
Bachelors. Bachelorettes.
Between $1,500 and $2,000 a month?
Yeah.
I couldn't even ask that much for this stupid house.
This stupid, horrible house that nobody would ever rent.
No, I love my house. It's a good house. It's just the basement's cluttered right now.
Right, but... Yeah, there was that housing forum where everybody's like, why is nobody buying homes? Why is everybody just renting? Why are there only...
Well, because they're... Because
one, what? Why are only one bedrooms the only thing that apartments have a waiting list for?
It's partly because of the credit, probably bad credit.
Yeah.
And being tied down and then seeing that tax bill. See, that's one thing that renters don't see. They don't see the tax bill. That's why you run across so many renters on a daily basis who don't even believe that they're contributing to the property tax. It's like, I rent.
They're told all over.
It's a myth. It's a myth and it's a lie. And if anyone tells you that, you need to call them out as fake news.
the whole housing forum that was like, why? They pointed out in that article in the Sentinel.
That was a letter to the editor. That was a concerned resident.
There was a letter to the editor of somebody delusional enough to think that it's only economics that's keeping people from buying homes. And there was an article earlier in the week in the Sentinel about the housing forum. That was on a Tuesday in the morning, which, sorry, I couldn't go. I have work.
Yep.
So, you know, I couldn't really... And they had one about student debt earlier, but that also...
And they'll probably be like, well, you guys could have come. We had a meeting. We invited everyone. We told everyone. We had it on the city website. You didn't
one
come.
Of one of the one of the points that they made that they put in the Sentinel was that, most apartments, the number one apartment that people are looking for is one-bedroom apartments. Not two bedrooms, which they have for rent. Not three bedrooms, which they have for rent somewhere. One bedrooms. And, you know, also people aren't buying houses because the taxes, this, that. Who buys homes?
Families.
Yeah. There's no reason for anybody to start or form a family out here.
With serious jobs who don't plan on moving.
With easy divorce and the ability of one side of that family to nuke that family and destroy it.
And there is
no reason for... Sorry, for men to get married and form families and invest in a home.
And big brother, and big brother government who will take care of your sorry butt and your kids. The real papa. The real daddy.
Yeah, so you might as well just hoe it up and get knocked up. Because, you know,
It's potential.
Hey,
it works. A lot of people are doing
it. It's getting put on my list soon, but...
No, it's not. Take that back. Hold on, I got something for you.
Stop your nonsense.
But anyways, there's a lot that they're missing from those housing forms that people aren't going to say. No one wants to say, oh, you know, what incentive is there for a man to buy a home in Keene, in Manchester, in Winchester, anywhere? No one's going to bother buying a home. You might as well just, you know, have your internet porn and your video games and just, you know, deal with it then. Well, and the same thing with women. Oh, my God. If you're a woman in your early 20s or in college or in your late 20s even, and you hang around the wrong group and you are investing in that.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you're a freak.
Considering,
and that actually makes a difference in people's behavior.
Considering two very big productions, housing developments going on in the city as we speak. And one actually got shot down. It was right here next to us here in North Keene. That got shot down.
Well, good. You want, like, double sidewalks?
You have to wonder whether these people did a study themselves into whether this is a good move. I am assuming, considering how much money we're talking about in this development, these developmental projects, I'm assuming that, yes, they believe that there is potential. I'm assuming, but then you've got.
Well, what were they building? They were building apartments, right?
Apartments and condos, and over here was going to be condos, kind of. But having said that, you have this entire city council minus one or two, mm-hmm. who believes they need to spend money on the downtown, and they need to spend money with crony business handouts in order to entice four Walmart or four Home Depots a year to come move here. They believe that it's the answer. So, I mean, maybe these apartment builders are delusional and they're not going to make their money and they're going to remain vacant.
Well, there's Colony Mill that's turning into apartment buildings. So they're the ones.
That's one of the ones I'm talking about.
So there are the ones that are actually going forward, and they'll be able to see, they'll bear the brunt of it. The one that pulled out of the corner of Maple, Route 12A,
and Walpole,
Old Walpole Road and Court Street, you know, they pulled out. So they're actually not going to bear the cost of, you know, vacant homes or anything.
Mm-hmm. I think that...
Joe says maybe we should ask, what if there is no growth?
Well, I mean, it's really not... I mean, these are all private... These are all private industries.
Plan B is for the city to invest more into a new study and apply for more state aid and more federal aid.
And of course, like the mayor said, we can't find out what Plan B is. We have to pass the bill to see what's in it. I forgot to play that.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
God,
this feasibility study is just that.
It's the design. It's not even a study. It's the design of what they're going
to
do.
And then we'll find out. And I prepared a letter to the editor, Joe, and I was hoping it would have been printed on Saturday. But yeah, I actually surmise that it's going to be a whole new wing. They're gonna build an entirely brand new wing on the Recreation Center. It's gonna cost us between $3 and $10 million.
Well,
it's gonna be a bond, and some of it's gonna be federal, and some of it's gonna be new market tax credits, and they might even extend the TIF district out to the Recreation Center so that the TIF district can suck it up.
It's not gonna be the Recreation Center.
It's gonna be the community center.
It's gonna be the new community center. It's already happening.
It's already been decided. It doesn't matter. This whole show is for naught because they've already decided that this is how they're gonna do it. Maybe one day Giacomo and Soliday and Sutherland and some of these other guys, maybe they'll be Theriot, we'll all be on the council and we'll actually have a quorum where we can put our foot down and say, no, you guys, no, stop it. Stop it. Just like you're in the store with your damn whiny ass, crying ass kid. I want the candy. I want the toy. And you're like, no, sit the hell down in your shopping cart. No, you're not getting it.
Or you physically remove the child from
store. No. Well, it's not happened to me, but I know that parents who...
Not with your kid. Nuh-uh. No,
we would be in the shopping store, my kid readily in hand, and we would see it. I would see it, and she would see it, and I wouldn't say anything. I just kind of peek down at her, and watch her amazement. At the thing that she saw, at the kid getting away with it. She's like, what is going on over there?
Oh, watching some other kid flip out.
Yeah, it's like, what is wrong with that kid? Why is that kid able to get away with what she... And she would look up at me and see me watching her, and she would realize...
Would she laugh or just...
No, she would shake her head in dismay. It's like, that's real.
Did you ever tell her, like, if you ever act like that, I'm going to beat the hell out of you, or...
No, I wouldn't have to.
Okay. Well, good.
It was an unspoken, that is unruly. You don't you don't act like that.
We'd watch, like, movies where some chick is doing something stupid. It could be, like, an older woman in her 40s, like, banging the neighbor or something. And Rena would be like, if you ever do that, Sean, I'm going to beat the hell out of you. And I'm like, wait, I'm 8. I wasn't planning in my 40s of, like, banging the married neighbor, dude. Why is she... Did I do something? Did I...
Nobody will ever oppress you here.
Or even, like, little kids on stupid 80s movies flipping out. She'd be like, you ever do that? And I'm like, I didn't do anything.
I just don't know. I don't know. So what I was getting to, I had a couple depressing days trying to figure it out. I'm actually asking the question. I'm asking it right now. Because I don't just sit down and do this show.
No.
I'm going to cut it up. I'm going to put it on Cheshire TV. I'm going to upload it to YouTube.
You are this show.
I monitor the Facebook, and then my Sundays are pretty much me reading through articles. And you know, there's a lot of time and effort and work involved, and I'm not getting paid for it. I'm doing it because I want to make change. I want to be the change.
Yeah.
But am I just spinning my wheels? Am I just spinning my wheels right now? Because the more and more I delve into this, the more I see the numbers, the more I try to ask questions and to look into things, I realize there is no way in hell I'm changing any of this. There is the only solution is to allow it to wither and dry, to burn up, to catch flame and to burn up and to start over again. That is the only way to fix this.
Time for starting over is now, but. Well, there's what you also do, or what this show could do, is just simply be informative.
Yeah, but it still requires me to spend time that be doing. I could be out there hoeing another. There's a word.
There's
again.
The Curry Museum in Manchester. There's the Museum of Russian Icons in Clinton, Mass. I know exactly how we could be spending our Sundays.
Oh my God!
And
I'm not driving a mess.
Yeah, I will.
Listen, I could be
and
out there.
And there's all the other stuff that you're doing.
I could be out there adding another lane onto my garden.
Yeah.
I could be working on my fish farm. Could be getting some more rabbits out there.
Could be fixing.
I could be at work making more money so that I can put into. Investing and preparing for the inevitable.
Someone's calling you.
All right, let's answer the call.
Here it is.
Where's my other side of it? Hey, good evening. You're on Citizen Kane. Caller, go ahead with your thoughts.
Hi, it's Joe.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Hey, Joe.
Yeah, I had an idea. Do you know, is there a neighborhood association where you live?
Oh, I hope not.
Not yet. I do not believe there's a Maple Acres neighborhood association. I've talked about doing it, but yeah. That's a lot more on my plate. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's okay. When I was in Port Washington, the people who got me involved and eventually convinced me to run for the school board, which I got as a miracle to get me elected, but they were called the General Council of Homeowners, and what they were a representative for each of the neighborhoods in Port Washington. Port Washington was about the same size as Keene, 20-some thousand. And you know, they were vilified, kind of like Free Keene's vilified, you know, and they, because they stood up. But they helped make a lot of difference.
Who was vilifying the neighborhood associations?
The powers that be, you know, like the school board, and, you know, they were... you know, the cool people in town kind of thing. You know, I mean, all the people that wanted to see people spend money, all the people that were employees, you know, things like that.
The stakeholders.
So these guys were asking questions. The first thing they found was that there was kind of this Bogart teacher education program where they were getting raises for taking things like basket work and stuff. Yeah. But by having a group of homeowners, you know, you have a lot of people. Let's say you got 10 neighborhoods. You got 10 people, and these are people who own homes. So some of them are lawyers. So there was one a judge. You know, there was one that was actually a custodian in the in one of the schools. You know, so you got a lot of information, and you got a lot of you know, professional clout. You got some people who could do like 91As. You got anyway, if you get the homeowners organized, like. Start one for Maple Acres. I know there's at least three more in town because I talked to a guy.
Oh, really?
We went to that housing meeting. Janet and I went to the housing meeting. I talked to a guy who said he had six houses on Marlborough Street or something. And he was complaining that when they wanted to make some change, they didn't even ask him. You know, they just kind of just did it. But I think that's the way to get organized. You know, start one for Maple Acres. Find those other three because. There was another guy talking there, and it kind of came up that they're around town. There are at least three neighborhood associations already, so you get like 10 of them, and then what you have, you'll have people that will go to the meetings. You know, you'll have like something of the beginnings of an army.
Oh, I like that. The other three associations. Do you know what they are? Who they are? Do you have their information?
No, I don't. I don't know, but actually, I think I could find out. Who was the guy, Janet? Who was the guy at the meeting? No, the other guy, the guy that was at our table.
Do we need to not be recording this?
Yeah, Peter.
I'm actually
because he knew about neighborhood associations.
Yeah, I'm running out of time too.
We can find out. But anyway, there are already several in town. And then, but also you could just ask on your show, you know, if you know anything about it, if you live in a neighborhood that has a neighborhood association, please let me know. I'm trying to organize them. Say it on your show next week.
I think that's a great idea. I think that Maple Acres would, I think that would be an easy process, you know, mention on the show,
right.
create a Facebook page.
Yeah,
I like that. Joe, thanks for the idea. I'll get on that.
Okay.
All right,
just an idea. Might work.
All right, take care, man. We're out. I'm about to run out of time, and Facebook only gives us an hour and a half.
Yeah. Okay.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Guys, thanks so much for watching. We are out. We'll see you next week. Good night.